Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." This is the word of the Lord.
You may find yourself in a bit of a weary state, like I find myself. At the end of the school year, in our household, things tend to ramp up before they wind down. So by the end of the year, we've had a dance recital, band and orchestra concerts, end of school year parties, award ceremonies, graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, and all in the midst of that, we're supposed to fit a relationship with Jesus in there somehow. And so by the end of all of it, I felt a little run down. You may feel run down too. It may feel a little bit like you've got a battery that's warning you that it's running low and you need to get to the charger. It may look and feel a little bit like this. We may not appear inebriated when our batteries are running low, but still, all of our functions may not be running at their appropriate levels when we get tired and when we get worn down. When I listed all those activities earlier, I've learned over time that those are not things to complain about. I don't get to complain about all these activities because the greater portion of those involves choices that we make, priorities that we set for ourselves. These are decisions that we've made. Nobody forced these things upon us. Busy is not a requirement by any means. But rest is a commandment, and it's a constant calling for us. And so we, as God's people, know that we have to get to the charger. We have to get plugged in. Now, have you ever tried to convince a toddler to take a nap? Throw up a hand if you've ever tried to talk a toddler into a nap. That is a party time in the making. It's been several years since our family has directly been involved in that camp, but I've been with families recently who have had to try to put toddlers to sleep. And their kids will scream, "I'm not tired, I don't wanna." And then there are tantrums, and there's yelling, and there's crying, and then eventually they collapse, and usually the kids will too. How often are we like that? I'm tired, but I'm too busy to do anything about it. There will be plenty of time for sleeping when I'm dead. We as adults often find ourselves having different forms of tantrums or screaming or crying. Usually it involves things like tension, irritability, headaches, caffeine overloading, a foggy mind, decreased immunity, increased illness, trouble focusing, and so on. We push and we push until we eventually collapse. I remember when our young kids were fighting sleep many years ago, and I would often be tired too. But instead of exhausting us all with fighting and trying to force sleep upon them, when I was in my very best daddy mode, I would hold them close to my heart so that they could hear my heartbeat. I would slow my breathing and rock them back and forth and sing to them familiar songs, songs I knew they enjoyed, until their breathing calmed and slowed. I would stroke their temples until they couldn't hold their heavy eyelids open any longer. Both of us would attune to the other's rest. When Jesus calls us close to him, this is what Jesus is calling us to draw near, to listen for our Lord's heartbeat, to attune ourselves to Jesus' own peace, and to hear his voice singing good and familiar songs to us and speaking grace and provision over us. This world is noisy. Whether it's through distractions that are thrust upon us or distractions that we choose, there are many things that would pull us away. And so sometimes we dodge the chance to draw close to Jesus. but it doesn't mean the chances are not there. King David wrote a song about drawing close to God's peace, even when he felt like he was under attack. This is the 62nd Psalm. David sings, "I wait quietly before God. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They're friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. I wait before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O people, put trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they're lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Power, O God, belongs to you. Power belongs to God. We want so badly for power to come from our own awesomeness, from our lifting and our working and our striving and our proving. But if we take creation seriously, we know that God spoke and all things came into being, that God declared and the stars of the universe started their burning, that God breathed and we received life. Life still comes from God. Nothing else has its own intrinsic power. All other fuels are consumed and burn off eventually. And we try so hard to be independent on God from that power. We're afraid of admitting our weakness. But we are weak. I'm going to invite you to humor me for a second because we're going to sing together. It's a really sweet song, Jesus Loves Me. You've probably heard it. Let's sing it together. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good job, everybody. Give yourselves a hand. That was really nice. That was nice. So we like the part in that song when we confess the weakness of others. When we are confessing the weakness of little children. Of course, children are weak and small and frail, and so Jesus will take care of them. It's so much easier to say they are weak than to say we are weak, isn't it? But we are weak, and he is strong. We may not be so little anymore, some of us, but we still belong to Jesus. We are weak, but he is strong. And so, our first lesson from this morning's scripture is we need to get connected to the charger. We need to get connected to the charger. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This passage comes at the end of Matthew chapter 11, but it's actually a perfect introduction for Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus is doing some work around and about the Sabbath. So Jesus is pulling grains to eat on the Sabbath day, which was a no-no at his time. He was healing people on the Sabbath day, which goes against the human understanding of the law. The Sabbath at Jesus' time was a time when the Jews were commanded to take a day of rest based on the fourth commandment. And we'll get into that on another day. But the Sabbath stretched from dusk on Friday night to dusk on Saturday night. No striving was allowed on the Sabbath day, and Jesus utilized the Sabbath for restoration, for things like nourishment and for healing. These are Sabbath things, and they're for the benefit of the weary. So Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me who are weary." Who's invited? The ones who are tired, the ones who carry heavy burdens. Maybe some people here qualify. But Jesus was talking about a couple of different groups, both of whom were equally weary. Jesus was speaking to physical laborers, The Roman citizens didn't work. Romans conquered and forced people of the conquered land into service. And then the citizens of Rome just enjoyed the spoils of the victory. Almost everyone in the Hebrew land that was occupied by Rome were occupants of the Roman Empire. So the people of Galilee, Judea, Samaria, they were forced into grueling physical labor. They were forced to do the bidding of Roman soldiers and the whims of the Roman citizens. Almost everyone engaged in this labor for little to no pay. They just had the sweat of their brows and the dirt under their nails. And they were tired. And Jesus was speaking to them. They were the spiritual laborers of the time. The leading religious class of Jesus' time set up rules and regulations that were designed to be followed by primarily the people who were professionally religious or those who could afford to be able to do so. Many people felt as though they couldn't afford to focus on God because they were too wrapped up in trying to adhere to the regulations. They were perhaps feeling like they were being constantly reviewed, but not feeling like they were being renewed. Your option as a religious Hebrew person at the time was either to jump through countless spiritual hoops or be considered a religious reject. And those who were trying to appease the religious mandate of the time were tired. Jesus was speaking to them. And if you're tired today, Jesus is speaking to you. We've got these demanding voices in our heads that try and drown out Jesus' voice, though. Maybe you've noticed these bossy voices. There's the voice of insecurity. It says, unless I'm busy, nobody will think I'm worth anything. If I'm caught not being busy, people will think I'm lazy or I'm not carrying my weight. I have a lot to prove, so I better stay in motion. Or maybe it's the bossy voice of status. It says that we're striving to enlist ourselves in an organization called the Busy Scouts, where we get to sew on our busy badges onto our stress vests, and our busyness is a mark of honor to show people how important we are. Maybe it's a bossy voice of mistrust that says, if I don't perform, how can God love and care for me? Then there are probably actual bosses who have demands of you, bosses at work, demands of family, and it's hard to say no to these demanding voices. But Jesus is not that kind of boss, not that kind of Lord or master. That leads to our second lesson. Jesus invites us to lighten our burdens. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. What makes a burden gentle? In Jesus' terms, it's because it's shared. It's a shared burden. We get to see an image of this yoke that Jesus may have been speaking about. This is a double oxen yoke. They had yokes that you could just put onto one oxen if you had just one animal that could be your burden-bearing animal, and it would be able to hoe a row and things like that. But you could double it up, and you would have two oxen that would be able to pull a burden, pull a load, pull a trailer, pull some sort of plow, and be able to do the work, and it would make it easier on both animals because it was shared. And so Jesus is inviting us to take his yoke upon us. And so, in essence, what Jesus is inviting us to do is to join him in this burden so we'd be yoked together. And so this burden that we bear is one that's born out of relationship. The first level of bearing this yoke of Jesus is to get strapped in next to Christ. And you're not carrying that weight alone. You're carrying this burden with the Creator of the universe. And then we carry a burden that's born out of compassion. Jesus cares. Jesus cares about you. Jesus doesn't want to dump on you. He doesn't need us, and yet Jesus relies on us for his kingdom purposes and wants us to experience his very best through patterns of pouring out and then finding resting renewal. Ultimately, if we aren't experiencing peace and compassion in our walk with Jesus, then we won't have peace and compassion to share with others. So our burnout can burn others as well. We carry burdens that are born out of deep listening. We need to hear what God is calling us uniquely to do. Just as families have chores and everybody has their own unique load to carry in their family with service opportunities, everyone in the kingdom of God has their own unique burdens to carry, their own unique service opportunities as well. And everyone shares the load and the responsibility, but we get exhausted if we try and carry somebody else's load and responsibility, or we're not living into the gifts that God has given us and the unique calling that God has placed on our hearts. So we have to listen. We have to bother to hear God's voice before giving our yes and our no. And our burden is fueled by a limitless love. God has a limitless well of grace from which we are renewed. But Jesus tells us we've got to come to him. We've got to come to him. We want Jesus to come to us wherever we happen to be. But that's not how we find our rest. As stewards of this gift of time, we get to prioritize coming to Jesus. And that means we set up patterns of daily and weekly and monthly and yearly renewal. These patterns of withdrawing from the flow of life's demands and just pausing with Jesus for a bit. But the world will actively work against your rest in Jesus. That's the third lesson this morning. The world will actively work against your rest in Jesus. There's this passage where the rest in Jesus is perfectly illustrated, and the resistance to that rest is shown. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is making a trip to visit some friends. And as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. This is Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus. Martha's sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Martha points out it's unfair. She recognizes the disparity that Mary's sitting there while she's laboring. Now, rest in mind, Martha is worried about preparing some sort of meal for Jesus. Jesus, who with a small amount of loaves and fish was able to feed 5,000 plus people. And Martha's worried about making sure that there's enough because she has to work so hard. She's just stressed. She's wearing herself out with worry and work. And there sits Mary. There sits Mary at Jesus' feet. The Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're upset over all these details. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away." We can worry and work, and in the process, end up walking away from God and find ourselves ever more exhausted. But did you know that nobody cares for your well-being like Jesus? And nobody looks out for it like you. Nobody's going to prioritize renewal for you if you do not. So when Jesus calls us to come, come. Accept his invitation. Come to him. Sit at his feet for a while. Dine with him as with a friend. And in that, we find ourselves refreshed. That's the calling of this table when we have the opportunity to gather around this table of grace. It's a gift of renewal for us that these simple elements that show us the presence of Christ in our midst also tell us that these things that wear us down, Jesus desires to lift them from us and give us a burden of light.